Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here with the Faith and Freedom Show on the Eagle 104.3 FM. The number here is 888-850-1872. Don't call now. Just write it down. Get your fingernail and get your styrofoam cup, and it's 888-850-1872. We've got a caller, and just before we went to the break, or actually just after we went to the break, I'll tell you before and then after, it'll all work out. We were talking about this Afghanistan thing. And if the U.S. forces are involved, I think it's accountability is great. In the end of that last interview we had with Nathaniel Raymond, he made a comment about policy. I posed a question to him. Are you guys not just investigating for war crimes? Are you giving any input and being any salt and light to the policy decisions or plans for the future? And it turns out they are, that they're actually working with the Army, talking about this particular incident, going into the details that they know about it, and preparing them to say, hey, what are you going to do in the future? You had better be ready to know how to respond in this kind of situation. There's a lot at stake besides, ultimately, not just the people's lives who are in your hands at the time, it ultimately will steamroll and cascade into more catastrophe unless you do the right thing. We had a caller just before the break, and just on the break, he asked if he could make a comment about some of the stresses on the current soldiers. Our callers had experience in the military and wanted to say something. Okay, so go ahead. What were you going to say about the stresses on the guys in the military right now, and what the indicator is?
Well, I think there's a direct tie-in to the soldiers that are in any dangerous circumstance, Dave. Whether it's the current Afghanistan or the tapering down of the Iraq thing, and I think the comment I appreciate you letting me make it is that I think actually what we're witnessing, even though it's been blocked from our view, just like this caravan of death, reflects, I think, the modern-day values, unfortunately. And then when the soldiers come home, they realize that what they were caught up in, maybe hurting people that should have been hurt or taking lives that shouldn't have been taking, or doors that were kicked in that were really unnecessary, that those values, when they come back to a more civil society, actually can lead to stress where soldiers have nowhere else to turn, and I think that's a direct reflection of the current tremendous spike of the suicide rate.
Well, I'm going to say something on that. As I've said often on the show, there's times that I go to other news sources, and I find that when I go to foreign newspapers, they report things in the American news that America's not reporting. America doesn't really report what's going on over there, and that's, you know, prerogative of the newspapers, but there's a whole lot of things that I think are very important that are not being brought up. So I'm going to go to something that I found in the New Zealand Herald today, and it's a report that comes out of Colorado Springs. I did a search to see who else reported this. This is a New Zealand Herald report. Soldiers from an army unit that had 10 infantrymen accused of murder, attempted murder, or manslaughter after returning to civilian life. Now, that's one unit in Iraq. 10 of them are involved here in murder, attempted murder, manslaughter after coming back to civilian life, described a breakdown in discipline during their Iraq deployment in which troops murdered civilians. And so let me keep reading this and just hang out with me for this if you can. It says some Fort Carson, Colorado-based soldiers have had trouble adjusting to life back in the U.S., saying they refused to seek help or were belittled or punished for seeking help. Others say they were ignored by their commanders or coped through drug and alcohol abuse before they allegedly committed crimes. And, of course, it goes into detail, says that the suicide rate's really high and things like that. But one of the things, I think the key thing that got me in on this article, it says, toward the end, we were so mad and tired and frustrated. If you came too close, we lit you up. That means anybody who came too close, you light them up. There's a point at which somebody in this environment, it changes from a military soldier, use of force, rules of engagement, to basically a renegade potential murderer. I mean, that's the kind. And now the tough part is you don't want to say, oh, those bad guys with guns. Man, these guys have donkeys walking by with explosives on them. I mean, talk about nerves on edge. So, I mean, I can't appreciate that. But I was really a little bit kind of surprised that it's a very good article. And essentially what it said was this guy told him basically that their commanders were just telling him, hey, you see it, you kill it. Now, the problem was when you look at the history of this one unit, it turns out that this one unit actually had a large number of maybe casualties towards civilians that weren't necessary. And it had a large number of people that came back and were dysfunctional. So it very well may be a particular leadership issue in this one unit that may be part of the problem or a significant part of the problem. So what do you say to that?
Well, I say that having been a platoon sergeant, my job was to, and I tried to teach people when I was in the Corps how to do things correctly and how to not hurt people unnecessarily. And I think calm leadership under difficult circumstances. And I think, I guess without being too condemning in my speech, that article that you read pretty much shores up, from some of the sources that I read, Dave, we may have actually caused the unnecessary aggressive insurrection, which has led to the Shia taking control of Iraq. Without getting into details, that the over heavy-handedness of the American soldier, you take some kid out of Cleveland who's never been outside of Cleveland or wherever, and they send him on the other side of the world not really knowing what their mission is, and then, you know, things do happen, and then they just overreact. They have all this firepower. And then there may have been a point in the invasion where the people were glad to have the Americans there, but it quickly changed because you just take these young kids that aren't so young anymore, but because of the loss of jobs here. But, I mean, you just take people, and I think that my point I'm trying to make as a citizen and a veteran, I think they are currently reflecting the unfortunate American values, not necessarily. We can't send a bunch of Joe DiMaggio's over there. You know, this isn't the 40s, but it's almost like the comment I'm making is that it looks like this is our values, and I'm not proud of that, having been being a veteran. So.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, I will tell, and this comes back. You're a listener. You call. One of the things that I say is our freedom comes in proportion to our faith, and I keep driving that home that there's a value system that America has abandoned, and what happens? I'll just give you an example: is a Navy. You know, if you're really an outspoken love God and love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to take a certain amount of flack, and you happen to be a leader, a chief petty officer. It's kind of cantankerous. So how can you be cantankerous and be a Jesus lover at the same time? So it gets a little bit weird. But I'll just say I've been in situations where, let's say, the use of deadly force. You have exclusionary with regard to certain weapons, and you have to protect this exclusionary. There's rules of engagement. And if somebody is getting access to an exclusion area where you have deadly force authorized, just because you have it generally authorized and somebody breaks the buffer zone and goes into the exclusion area, that doesn't mean you're supposed to light them up. If you can tackle them, you can tackle them. If they go in with a pistol and they're not pointing at anything except for the bomb or something like that, it's not going to have a nuclear explosion. Okay? It's not going to happen. So there are things that you can do that are short of lighting somebody up. But the problem is, it depends on the crazy environment. That's why you don't just go into war because you feel like it, because you can, and because nobody's noticing it. I mean, there's a whole lot to this. You know, so, I mean, that's why part of this discussion is to go back to what are the foundational principles. Is war justified? I'll give you an example. I've had people punch me in the face, and I've loved them. But I've also had people punching somebody who is a complete stranger to me, and I didn't have anything to light them up with, but I intervened physically. And because there's a point where you love, you know, there's a point where you take it on the chin because you got a longer cause. Sometimes your country will take it on the chin for a bigger cause. But then sometimes you get in there and take, even to the point of deadly force, to nip somebody's wrong behavior in the bud. So do you think, obviously you're a soldier, is war justified? When is war justified? You're a common, average American person. How do you reconcile love your neighbor as yourself and shooting somebody?
Well, now you're talking about in a...
I'm talking about you.
Well, David, yes, I'm trying to answer the question. Are you talking about in a domestic situation or deployed as a...
I'm just talking about war. People ask me that question. How do you justify war?
Well, that's... I personally didn't see this particular war justified because I didn't think that the threat and the people that I listened to were people that I could personally relate to. One was a 40-year veteran of the Marine Corps, the current, he was a three-star general, and the current U.S. ambassador to Israel named General Zinni. He didn't think the war was necessary. I also listened to a former U.S. Marine Corps major named Scott Ritter, who I watched on the news and knew what type of Marine he was, and he's still registered in an opposition political party than I am, but he thought that this war was unnecessary. And I'm able to read those kinds of soldiers. I know my Marines very well, and I can tell who was there with a righteous heart.
Okay. Well, I want to stop you there. You gave some good examples of credible people who thought it was not necessary. I'm sure there are credible people that think it is. What would make a war?
Yeah.
What makes a war credible? You're an average guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What makes a war credible?
Well, I think I don't know that I've witnessed one yet. The more I dig into our history, but I think when a nation, a sovereign nation, is completely convinced that their existence is totally at stake through a legitimate threat that doesn't need to be fabricated or tied into groups that aren't necessarily intertwined with each other. So I think not bragging, Dave, I'm a little harder to fool than your average 40 and under crowd, because they haven't grown up watching the lies that came out of Vietnam.
Okay.
And
well, that's.
I didn't. You know, the Vietnam. You know, the Gulf of Tonkin situation. They get the darn thing started. If you want to.
Well, wait. We don't want to go that far. I just wanted a common man's perspective, and yeah. I know I'm irritating the daylights out of my station manager. Okay, so because I let this one go on forever, but I was enjoying the talk. So I appreciate your call. There was good input, and you got one more. I'll give you another chance before we go.
Well, I just would like to tie in the situation. There's another, the Information Clearinghouse website. They cover international news. And then also for what's going on in Latin America, it's called the School of America's Watch.org. And it's led by Father Roy Bourgeois and some Catholic nuns, and about the injustice of America's involvement currently in Latin America. And
okay, it's schoolsofamerica.org?
School of America's. .org, SOAW.
Okay.
Sierra Oscar Alpha Whiskey .org.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Good call. Thanks. Hey, folks. Okay, that was a long-winded one. But somebody posed a question to me one time. Well, how do you reconcile Christianity and war? Well, actually don't. You know what it is? War is all hell, as William Tecumseh Sherman said. And it basically, you know, some people would justify what would be considered, you know, wrong behavior, war crimes or something. You know, William Tecumseh Sherman would, I guess the context of that statement is when maybe somebody was challenging him, at least they say, about some of the things that he did with scorched earth policies and things like that. And but it may have been he was just kind of venting about war, and it is all hell. Of course, Jesus would say, love your neighbor as yourself. So obviously, if we've all got the right relationship with the Creator, we don't have these problems. And I'd say most likely most wars and most murders are just a bunch of wicked people just duking it out, just doing the wrong thing perpetually. Obviously, all wars are caused by wicked people doing the wrong thing. I think if we look back at World War II, we can say, well, we had some serious aggressor issues. Japan taking over, they had the Tanaka plan. They had a great big plan of basically being an oppressor. And so they were carrying it out, and they're justified war. And guess what? Who won? Okay, the people doing the wrong thing as a nation, getting behind their leadership for all their national purposes and national patriotism. Guess what? They ultimately got spanked. So we got to make sure we're not putting ourselves in a spanking position. Let's hold ourselves accountable as a people and make sure that what's happening is right. Keep tuning in to Eagle 104.3 FM. We shall return.